the French philosopher, novelist, and playwright Jean-Paul Sartre wrote a play called Final Exit, in which he depicts certain individuals as all going to hell. What makes hell so unbearable is that each of those persons is stuck on themselves to the exclusion of other people. It's all about them, their lives, how great they are, all the great things they did, and why they shouldn't be there. Now imagine being trapped, confined in a room with five or six people like that for the rest of eternity. So forget the caverns and the darkness and the little bits of fire here and there, the cute little demons with their pitchforks and little spike tails. The things of cartoons are not truly hell, but the deprivation of love, the deprivation of peace, the deprivation of happiness, knowing all the while that you don't have to be there because only one act of repentance would have gotten you out, and you have to deal with nothing else but this forever. Not a comfortable thought, is it? And that's certainly what hell is. We find that in our lives, when people become self-absorbed and things become all about themselves, they cause hell for themselves and hell for other people because it's all about them. As the scriptures say, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. This is what we're talking about. When people love themselves so much to the exclusion of God and others that they become or seem to be the be-all, end-all of everything. You must love me. Why? Because I'm me. That's why. Well, we can't do that. Keep in mind that man without God is nothing but dust. God without man is still God. That we are not the be-all, end-all. We're not the source of our own beginning. We're not anything at all. Apart from God, we are and have nothing. Ever. And so as the Psalms would tell us, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. That was the problem with the religious leaders of Jesus' own time, and even before that, as the prophet Malachi is bemoaning, these people who are supposed to be leading people to God, but instead try to put themselves in the place of God as though they're the authority themselves, and they are not. And they love all the titles that go along with it because it puffs up their own ego, but does nothing for the good of other people. That's why Jesus tells his disciples not to do that, not even to accept those titles, because it's not a reflection of ourselves, but of God who lives and works in us and does his work through us. In the words of Mary the Magnificat, God who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He is the one who casts down the mighty from their thrones, and he raises up the lowly. And thus the famous quote from Jesus, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now, this past week, we had a wonderful feast day with the Feast of All Saints on Wednesday and the Commemoration of All Souls on Thursday. And this is what we're thinking about in the lives of the saints, that every one of us has that baptismal call. You and I called by God to be saints. And we find this in two places in Scripture, most specifically, when Moses told the people that they must be holy, for the Lord their God is holy. That makes sense. God makes us in his image and likeness, therefore we're to be like God and to be holy. And then we have Jesus himself saying, be perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. So what does that mean, to be holy and to be perfect? Well, it's to be like God. And of course, what is God? God is love. And there is where we find our holiness and our perfection, in what we heard in the gospel last week. To love God with our whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and likewise to love our neighbor more so than we love ourselves. I'll put it to you this way. St. John of the Cross says, in the twilight of our lives, that is, at the end of our lives, we'll be judged by love. Our love for God and our love for neighbor. And that makes sense. What do you find in heaven? People who glorify God. Why? Because of his love for them and the fact that they loved him, and because of their love and faithfulness after death were found worthy to enjoy the wedding feast of the Lamb, to be in God's presence for all eternity. We speak of purgatory and the holy souls, and what's that about? Well, again, it's for people who love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, but did not love God perfectly to the exclusion of themselves and have vestiges of self-love or imperfections of this world. They have seen God, they have seen heaven, they know that they're going there, but their imperfection prevents them until they can be purged of their sins, to be purified, thus purgatory. But there's still love. the saints in heaven who glorify God pray for us constantly because they love us. Where they are, they want us to be, to share their joy, to be with the Father forever. The souls in purgatory likewise love us and love one another. They still love God. They can't do a thing for themselves, which is why it's incumbent on us to pray for them and to offer masses and so on, penances, for their sake. But they in turn pray for us. But there's still faith and the fulfillment of it in heaven. There's still hope in purgatory. They know they're going to heaven. And most importantly, there is love. Conversely, in hell, those things don't exist. There is no faith. There is no hope. There is no love. There is no peace. These are the ones who exalted themselves so much that the love of God was gone. The love of neighbor was gone. But the love of self was far, far too great. So what is God calling you and me to do? Again, it's to be humble and to realize that without the love of God, we're nothing. As St. John, the Apostle, tells us in his letter, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Those who love abide in God, and God abides in them." Think about that. How many times do people commit sin and they say, "Well, it wasn't that bad because I did it out of love." That's a lie. If God is love, and He is, and sin has nothing to do with God, then sin has nothing to do with love and vice versa. Sin is all about love of self and self-will, but not about God and not about the other person. So Jesus calls us to something far greater. Saint Benedict reminds us that we are to attribute only our faults, only our weaknesses, the things that make us less than human, if you would, to ourselves. But all that we see that's good about us, our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our hopes, our dreams, all that is good as God Himself at work in us. And this is how we should live, always. God is at work in us. His love, perfecting us from sin, filling us with holiness, giving us hope until we find fulfillment in His kingdom. He is our Father in heaven. He is our Master. The Master who humbled Himself to become one of us and not all things but sin, so that you and I could become like Him, to become sinless and to live in love. May we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord to be exalted by His grace.